Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Here with the talk of the town.
We take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
Talk of the town. Here with the talk of the town.
Good evening.
Here with the talk of the town.
And I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. That's right. Your man, Nick Eden, is back. Back on another episode of Talk of Town with Nick Eden, presented by the Middleman. It's good to see everybody that's tuned in online and everybody that's calling in on the phone. So I'm glad to see you back this week. I missed you guys the last couple of weeks. Just got back from South Dakota. I was the only black person there. I'm riding solo today. Man, Al, he's not going to be able to make it in with us today. But it's all good, and KG will be in just a little bit. So the first few minutes, you may hear my voice, but it's all good. It's all good. You've been hearing the guys for the last couple of weeks. I give you a break for now. I hope everybody's doing well out there in the Millman land. I know the sales, I don't know, looking a little ugly this week on the sales front, but it might be looking a little better next week. This week in the sales, Rick Ross comes in at number two with his new album, God Forgives, I Don't. I don't know how I feel about that title, y'all. I don't know, something about that title just doesn't fit too well with me. But he came in at number two this week with 55,000 sold. That's a 74% drop from his debut, and I got to look up the numbers on his debut, honestly. You know, I've been out of the loop for the last couple of weeks, so I haven't been able to look at any of the numbers. Elvarna, R&B singer Elvarna, she has a top five showing on the Billboard charts this week. Her debut album, Perfectly Imperfect, comes in with 31,000 sold. That's led by the single Only Want to Give It to You, featuring J. Cole, and, of course, the ladies' new anthem, Refill. So big shout-out to Elvarna. I got a chance to listen to the album yesterday. It's actually really, really, really good. So big ups to Elvarna. And, you know, keep doing your thing, mama. We're supporting you out here. Justin Bieber comes in at number six. I know y'all like, why does he mention Justin Bieber every week? I'm sorry, guys. It's just, you know, it has more of an R&B twist to it, and it's a Def Jam album. I had to give him a little shine. But he comes in at number six with his album, Believe, with 30,000. Rounding out the top 10 urban releases, you got Adele comes in at number 8 with her album 21, with about 26,000 sold. Now, even though Adele is not selling nearly as much as she was, she's still in the top 10. That goes to the testament to how good the album is, and she's been out there doing her thing. This week, we have a very interesting show for you guys. Very, very interesting show. And it's called How to Maximize Your Dollar as an Independent Artist. Before we get into that topic, though, we're going to get into this news just a little bit. Rapper 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz is going to have a pretty good week next week. He's going to give Def Jam another number one debut. He's going to come in between 130 and 140,000 for his album, based on a true story. So big shout out to 2 Chainz, man. He got up there. He was grinding the old way, I guess you could say, you know, getting out there doing shows and everything. So big shout out to 2 Chainz. Fellow former Alabama State student. Kitty boy, what's going on with you? Big shout out to everybody we got on the line, man. I know we got my man Phil Five out there. I know we got a couple other folks on the line, man. And if you want to get in on this conversation at any time during the discussion today, give us a call at 718-508-9972. Now, on the news front, looks like Chris Brown and Drake are being sued right now. Basically, what happened was, you guys remember about a month ago, their entourages got into a fight at a New York club, and some people got hurt, some glasses got broken, bottles thrown, and Chris Brown had a chunk taken out of his jaw. Well, they're being sued right now for $16 million in damages resulting from the fight. Did the club really worth $16 million? How much damage can you do in a club to worth $16 million? I'm just saying. Anyway, they're basically saying that the Chris Brown and Drake shared a grudge against each other arising out of their romantic relationships with the same woman. And when they crossed paths, they began to fight violently with each other. Now, I will say that in the police report, it is stated that neither Chris Brown or Drake were physically involved in the brawl, even though Chris Brown did get that chunk taken out of his chin. I think my man just got in the building. KG, what's going on with you?
What's happening, man? What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Talking about this this little lawsuit we got.
Talking about the cat
Chris
fight.
Brown and Drake. Yeah, over that cat fight that was going on. And I see. And I already tell Charlie wants to get in on this real quick. We're gonna let Charlie get in on this real quick before we get into the topic.
Okay.
Charlie, what's going on with you, man?
What's going on, Nick? What's going on, KG?
What's happening?
We can't call you.
Man, I finally got a quiet house, so I'm here to talk.
Oh, stop, Dad.
What's going on? I think you got a very good subject, saving money. Artists don't understand the economics of the rap game or the music business. Artists fail to understand that when you get your advance check, you owe taxes on it. The best thing to do with your advance check is to put it in the bank and go find a reputable accountant. Then down with that accountant and tell that accountant exactly where you want to be financially in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, and let that accountant help you map out a budget for yourself. And you are to live on that budget.
Well,
it's Charlie, difficult.
That sounds like right. That sounds way too much like right.
I understand, but here's what you have to understand. Certain record companies encourage artists to spend their money. They encourage artists to go and buy a fancy chain and a big car and a fancy house. Why? Because they know that the royalty money and the tour money and the advance money is going to run out, and the artist is going to have to come crawling back to the record company for more money, which, of course, the record company, depending on how well the artist sells, will be happy to advance them if they're selling well. And if not, they kick them to the curb, and they're in debt, including in debt to the record company at 40% interest.
That is true. Now, Charlie, I want you to hold that thought for a second. What we're going to do is we're going to go into our first song of the day, our first break, and then when we get back, we're going to go right into this topic. This is something I need all of you independent artists out there, you need to go ahead and take out your pad and your pencil or pen or your tablet or whatever you're going to do, and I need you to take some notes on this show, okay? We're trying to make sure that you guys, independent and major, are maximizing your dollar, all right?
Hey, matter of fact, that man, make sure y'all call and tell a friend and come on, tune in. I know y'all know other artists.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Now, we're going to get into our first song today, which is by one of our frequent listeners and contributors. We played this record before, and we all love it over here. This is our man, Self 5, with Ordinary Growing Pain. You listen to the Middleman Present, Talk of the Town, with Nick East.
Montgomery, Alabama's own. Montgomery, Alabama's home. No side of the city be the most known. And them the grounds that your boy used to be stomping on. Yeah, when I was just a little miscreant, playing b-ball in the streets. Before the lights flickered, I had to be in. The moms was going wild on me with the belt back then. I missed it. The ice cream truck came. Pops telling me to cut the grass is high game. Man, Pops, why I gotta do it? I mowed it last week, ain't it your turn to do it?
check. Now somebody tell me why did I say that? Cause then he made me watch my mom's car get the old rags. Out in Alabama, heat busting up studs. At the time, I was thinking this was worst of life. Killing my whole afternoon. Washing the cars that I couldn't even move. Little did I know what awaited me after youth was 1,002 headaches and the loss of morning few. But the times back in the day was so cool. With grandmama cooking on a Sunday afternoon. I love reminiscing on the old days. Speaking on the chronicles of ordinary growing pains. School was the place that seldom made sense. Beating on the lunch tables till the bus of rhymes hit. Put your hands where my eyes could see. Buck wildin' in the place to be. And it was so crazy how it played out. When I used to grab the lunch place and then I bounced out before I had to pay for it. Yeah, I used to wear that big coat and sneak about the line with a couple extra cokes. Doing dirty, dumb shit for no apparent reason. Maybe that's why I couldn't go nowhere on weekends. But times back in the day was so cool. I remember playing b-ball before school. I love reminiscing on the old days. Speaking on the chronicles of ordinary growing pains.
And beauty is her name.
Man, I love her. I'm telling you, man, he did a thing on that, man. It's not just because I think I got a shout-out on the hook. I'm not sure. But, you know, I got to say, man, I'm feeling that record. I'm really feeling that record. That's some real hip-hop right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got a lot of compliments the first time we played it.
Oh, yeah. You'll be hearing it again.
Now.
Yeah, you'll definitely be hearing it again. You'll be hearing a lot more from Felt 5 coming up. So, man, tonight, I'm really going to enjoy this topic tonight, especially the first segment of it, because we have some experts in this field on this first subject. Okay, maximizing your dollar. Tonight on Talk of the Town with Nick Eden, we will discuss maximizing your dollar as an independent artist. Now, in today's time, artists more than ever have to cut costs where they can. In the generation of the do-it-yourself artists, there isn't a huge recording and marketing budget that the 90s of them had, you know, not for independents or for majors, really. And what we're going to do is we're going to go over the many areas where artists can downsize their overhead without downsizing the quality of their product. Now, the first area I want to get into is where it starts, man, the song. We got to get into the recording side of this. Now, in the recording side of music, you know, traditionally they'll tell you that you need to go to this large professional studio, and I'm not knocking any of the professional studios out there at all, not knocking what you're doing. I think they're very much so needed. Very much so needed. There are some other options, though. You know, if you don't have, and I tell people this all the time, if you don't have the large budget to go out there and spend your money at a $100 an hour studio, then you don't need to go to a $100 an hour studio. You may need to go to a $40 an hour studio or a $20 studio. Or, hell, you might just need to hire yourself an engineer that has a good setup at the house. It just depends, because at the end of the day, I've heard people go to these large studios in Atlanta, like, you know, Patchwork and all these other joints, and it still sounds like crap. Mm-hmm. So, one, if the song sounds like crap, it's not going to matter where you go to record it. Two, if you're recording, the actual recording side of it, how it's mic'd, how you deliver, that sounds like crap. There's only so much that the mixer can do. Three, if the person mixing your record is not doing a good job, it'll still sound like crap. So I've heard records that were recorded, mixed, and mastered at the house that sound better than ones that were done in a 250-hour studio. No. So that's the first area you want to go. You want to get in on this part of the conversation, and I know actually we have an engineer, a professional engineer, on the line right now, who not only engineers at a professional studio, he also has a setup at his house. I need him to go ahead and hit that one, that number one, cell five. I know you're out there. I need you to hit that number one for me. Or I'm just going to bring you in. It's your choice. Don't be cussing nobody out when I bring you in.
There you go.
Okay, there we go. There we go. All right.
Yo, what's good?
Go ahead, bring in cell five. What's good with you, man?
Oh, man, what's good, man? What's good with you?
All right, we can't call it, man. Up here bumping that Ordinary Growing Pains. Loving that record.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. Appreciate it very much, man. I was driving when you called me out there, man. So sorry about the delay.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's illegal to be talking on the phone in Alabama and driving, you know what I'm saying?
Stupid.
Ooh, bless their hearts. Well, this is a subject that I know that both you and Kevin are pretty well versed on. This whole recording in a studio versus recording at home, building yourself a home setup, trying to find these ways for the independent artist to maximize their dollar. Can you speak on the differences between the two? Because I know that you both act in two. You work in a professional studio as an engineer, Mixology Studios in Montgomery, Alabama. Y'all go see it. And you also have your own setup. Will you give us the pros and cons of each?
Okay, basically, the main thing about taking your song to a major studio. Each mixing environment is different. Different rooms have different spacing, mm-hmm. different sounds and acoustic levels. You definitely want to go to somewhere where the engineer is familiar with the sound. Like as far as my home setup, I'm able to. I know how my room sounds, and I know how my monitors are, and I know the transparency, so I'm able to adequately mix a song and have it pretty good, where it's pretty transparent. If you take it to a club or if you're taking it to the car, you know, you have to have different sources to be able to listen
mm-hmm.
to your mixes on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you said the pros and cons. Is that what you asked? I'm sorry.
The pros and cons. If you take what I'm looking at is I'm looking for your average, you know, independent artist that says, you know what, I don't have a big budget for the recording, mixing, and mastering part of this album. So what do I need to do? Do I need to go to this home setup? Do I need to try to get some software myself and do it myself? Or do I need to go to this big studio? That's what we're trying to reach today.
Okay.
I think we lost. Did we lose him?
I think we lost him. Yeah. I think we lost
him. No, he's there.
Hello?
But yeah, we're here.
Okay. Sorry, I'm in the country. Number one, the engineer is really supposed to be familiar with the sound of that room. They have all these different monitors. So your sound sonically is going to be the best there. You could do a home. I mean, if you have an engineer that really knows what they're doing at home, you could really get by with that. But the thing is, you definitely want to spend money on mastering.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yes.
Mastering
uh-huh.
will give you the level, the fullness of the sound.
Yeah.
Sonically, it'll make it sound best that it can. Now, at the studio that I work at, we do digital mastering, which is, you know, a lot different than analog mastering, in the fact that with analog mastering you have an external processor
mm-hmm.
that actually runs sounds through, and it'll definitely have a different quality, a warmer sound. But digital mastering, you know, for certain songs will do the trick as well. I would if it was me and I had a very small budget, I would go to a home studio and try to get an engineer that actually knows what they're doing, not just some dude who, you know, just got Pro Tools last week. Because a lot of people out there the last week, oh man, I engineer. Okay, so, you know, you'll spend a lot of time trying to even place songs and trying to do special effects on songs because they don't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
You know, so you definitely need to go with somebody who knows what they're doing and then take it to a professional studio, like, say, like, either to get it digitally mastered or, you know, I would prefer analog mastering, like, say, a Patchwork or Rodney Mills.
Very good.
I agree with you on that, Phil. I agree with you, too. Totally.
I was just about to say, KG, I was like, we need to get your expertise on this, too. And I will definitely say both Phil and I have worked with Rodney Mills, Master House, before. He is a veteran in this business, and he has mixed and mastered a lot of your favorite records. I'm telling you right now. So that I'm glad that you mentioned him. KG, you got anything you want to add to that?
I mean, Phil really just broke it down all the way, man. The only thing I would add on to it, if you are in a situation, if you're an independent artist and you do have that friend that do get that Pro Tools, take the time to learn the terminology. You have to learn exactly what you're doing. And don't expect your sound to sound like everything that's out there right off. But, you know, you can use it as a reference, you know, because, I mean,
right.
you can train your ear to learn. And that's one thing a lot of people don't do. They don't train their ear for that particular sound that they're looking for. They expect everything to come off the top like that. It doesn't work like that. And it does take time. And you do have to read up on some books. And it's going to take late nights to get efficient enough to make that product come out the way you want
right.
it to come out.
I can give you three examples right now of records that when they first came out, the mix on them was horrible, but they were undeniable hits. And as it gained steam, they went back and they had it remixed and mastered. And that was Rick Ross Hustlin', Franchise mm-hmm. Boys White Tee, and Soulja Boy Crank That.
Yep.
The initial mixes of those songs were horrible.
Man, that still still sound bad for Soulja Boy.
Get good Levels monitors,
all
man.
All over the place.
Good monitors.
Yeah, good monitors. And if you don't know, I guess my biggest thing is, guys, if you don't know, ask someone who's in that field. That's one of the reasons that, one thing I'll stand by, I say this all the time, once a week, go out for lunch with somebody that's in your field or a field that is related to yours. You'll learn so much just by sitting there and picking their brain. If you don't know, just ask someone.
Man, Nick, a couple of years ago, they used to have classes at, like, a guitar center. And if anybody out there old school remember Mars Music, you know, they used to have classes on weekends. You can go sit in, you know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, some of these schools you can go take, like, course you're going to pay a little bit, but you know, you don't have to go to the large schools out in Orlando and out there in Texas, but, you know, you can go to some of these schools and take courses a little bit at a time. And sometimes some of these engineers will let you intern in there to learn.
And also YouTube.
There are a lot of lessons on YouTube. Guitar Center does still do those classes. They do them for GarageBand every Saturday around 10 o'clock. Just check with your local Guitar Center. They do free classes for recording in GarageBand. So, you know, you might want to look into that. I've heard some great things come out of GarageBand. Every great mix that I've heard hasn't always come from Pro Tools. I can tell you that right now. I've heard some stuff come out of Cubase and Pool Edit that will blow your mind.
Yep. It's not about the digital audio workstation. It's more about if you know what you're doing with whatever you got.
That's very true.
Learn like Phil did say something very important. You need to learn your equipment. That's one of the major things right there. A lot of people don't take the time to learn. I'm talking to the independents that don't have the bread to go out there, and you may scrap up on some little money to get a nice little a package that, you know, some of these companies like a Musician Friends or some of these, you know, they offer great packages. But, you know, don't worry about, you know what I'm saying, trying to be that top guy. Off the top, you know what I'm saying? Learn your craft first, as we always stress.
Right.
Or if you're going to do that, I'll say this much, just to kind of piggyback off of that. If you're going to do that, I would necessarily say don't go to Musician's Friend. They actually offer a mini recording bundle that comes with the Inbox. It comes with Inbox 2, Pro Tools, set of monitors, a mic, and I forgot what else. But it's like
the mixing board.
Yeah, it's like $400 or $500 for that little
man. They making it very affordable. you know, a couple of years ago, man, we had a conference in Columbus, man, you know, with a magazine. But, you know, one of the biggest things, like one of our good friends, Orlando Abrams, you know what I'm saying, he called in. I mean, well, he was on the panel, actually. Like, he made a statement that, hey, not only do the big boys have the equipment, us little guys have it. Because, like you said earlier, Nick, sometimes, you know what you're doing? You can get a big sound out of a small studio.
Yeah, that's very true. Or even if you can't get it personally, if you get that set up and you go to, you know, if you live in an area that has a school that has a program like that, you know, go talk to one of the engineering students. Be like, look, I have a setup. I just don't know what I'm doing. You know, if you come to my home setup and, you know, record me and you can do as much as you need to do. You need to do any projects on there. You know, offer some type of bartering system to where it will be just as beneficial to that engineer as it would be to you. At
mm-hmm.
this point, if you live in an area that has a college in it, I'll guarantee you that 6 out of 10 times they have some type of recording technology program there. If not in their music department, check in their communications department.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
majority of major universities are going that route now. But, you know, the theme of this show is to maximize your money. You know, you may not have that bread to go to that college, but like Nick said, you can get the opportunity to learn your craft through different schools or whatever the case may be, as far as talking to those engineers or those instructors. A lot of those instructors are engineers in your local area anyway.
Yep.
Well,
that's very true.
Now, going into our second part of this, you got the recording done. You got somebody to give you a decent mix. You got a master on it. And now, you got to get the record out there. So now we're talking about duplication and distribution. And we've talked about distribution before on our digital distribution series, but I want to concentrate more on the physical distribution. Now, don't get it twisted. There are a lot of websites that will put out, you know, info saying that physical distribution is dead. You know, nobody's buying physical CDs anymore. As a performing and touring artist, I can tell you right now that is
not true. That is not true at all.
That is not true. That is not true at all. Now, actually, what the funny thing about it was, about maybe like 2 months ago, CD Baby put out some stats, and they were basically saying how, you know, physical distribution was about 11% of the marketplace. And the funny thing is, it was just among what CD Baby had, which was funny to me because disc makers own CD Baby, so the fact that they would essentially cut out a part of the bread and butter of what they do, that's amazing to me. Not really good business, Tony. But physical distribution. Everybody can't afford to spend $1,100 on 1,000 CDs. I'm pretty sure everybody on this line, everybody that's listening in online, I'm pretty sure we all have a Disc Makers or an Oasis catalog in our house somewhere. And they're going to give you these great deals. They're going to tell you that, you know, you're basically paying $1 per CD, and that sounds great. It sounds wonderful. The problem is everybody doesn't have that $1,000 to dish out on. People got work. People got bills. They got kids. They got debt, and they just don't have the $1,000 to dish out on it. There's a difference between CD replication and CD duplication. Let me give you an example of what I mean. You ever see the CDs and you look on the back and the back of the CD is a little blue or teal, looks like a CDR. It's basically a CDR that you went and bought and, you know, you burn it. That's what you would call CD duplication. Replication is where they actually make a replica of a master. And that's your professional grade CD that comes with a professional grade paper and it's been through the nice pressing plant. You really can't get less than 300 of those done. Anything less than 300 copies, you're talking about duplication. Now, if you're that person that's like, look, I don't have $1,000. I maybe have $50 here. I maybe have $100 here, a couple hundred bucks here for this gig. That's fine. There are plenty of places that will duplicate your CDs for a lower price. It's a lower quantity, and yes, it'll be the CDRs, but you still have that physical product out there. One that I love, I love it, and I will swear by it, is audiolife.com. This is perfect. The reason that this is perfect is anyone who goes to your website, you can actually put up a web store on your website. And anyone who goes to your website, they can order a physical copy of your CD, and it will be printed on demand and shipped out to them. Let me say that again. They can order the CD off of your website, the physical copy, and it will be printed on demand and sent out to them. Now, you haven't paid any upfront. What you do is you pay a little sum on the back end. You haven't paid any upfront manufacturing fees or storing fees, because I'm going to tell you right now, anybody that knows anything about storing all these fees will tell you it can be bothersome. I guarantee you. There's nothing worse than you paid that $1,000 and you got a 1,000 CDs at the house and your album only sold 20 copies.
Yeah, I know somebody like that right now. He probably listening.
Oh, yeah.
500 copies in the closet right now.
I'm not going to say any names, and I think Felt knows who I'm talking about. It was a group I used to manage. And I tried to tell them about all those copies. They went and bought every last one of them. And damn, if that CD came out in 2002, and they still got copies, multiple copies, at the house.
But, you know, I want to say this, Nick, and let you know more so what you said earlier about the digital aspect of the game opposed to the physical. I mean, is you know, we talked to Jay Dawg from Selecto Hit Records a couple of shows back, and, you know, he said they're even trying to go more on the digital side. So, I mean, is it easier or more economically safe for artists to go that direction digital and opposed to trying to get a massive copies of physical copies?
I will say this. It depends on the level that you are on. And this comes in with being very realistic. I say one thing I've said for years, anybody who knows me know I say this, the hardest thing to do is take a good, long look at yourself. That's the hardest thing that a person can do, is take a long look at themselves. Now, that being said, you need to realize at what level you are as an artist. If you're an artist and you know that you've never sold more than 1,000 CDs, you don't necessarily need to get 1,000 CDs printed. You may need to get just 300. You may need to get just 100. But I will tell you this much. As a touring and performing artist, no matter what the genre, if you do not have physical copies of your CD, you are shooting yourself in the foot. If you don't have physical copies available, and I will say at the request, physical retailers, and there are still some mom and pops out there. As a matter of fact, if you go to SoulTrain.com, as a matter of fact, if you go to the Middlemen page on Facebook, I'm about to post a link. I have something called Independence Day, and it's the top 10 mom and pop retailers in the country. These retailers, they cater to the independents because they know the majors have left them. They know the majors are only concentrating on the Walmart and the Targets of the world and the Best Buys. And all those stores don't always cater to independents. But those mom and pops, they still cater to independents. Don't get it twisted. People are still going out and they're buying CDs. It may not be in the drones that they once were, but you can never really get away from physical distribution. I'll say this much. Until you have sold probably about 500 full albums, I will go this route, and I think this is the model that 101 Distribution does.
Mm-hmm.
Sell 500 full album downloads first, and then see about getting your CD in store. Now, I'm not saying don't have physical CDs, because you never know when you're going to have those impulse buyers when you go and do a show. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen subpar vocalists do a great show
mm-hmm.
and sell at least $100 worth of CDs. Now, that's 10 CDs, and that might not seem like much, but that's $100 extra in your pocket that you did not have before you got to that venue. So you never want to shoot yourself in the foot and not get physical product. You need to have physical product on you
What if my money ain't right? How many copies? I mean, I know you said about at least 500 or less, but my money ain't right. I'm that guy out there that's trying to sell CD hand to hand. How many CDs should I have? If I'm going to maximize my dollar, how can I maximize my dollar with these CDs? And people
if
ain't
you
buying these
your
CDs.
My personal advice, I would say go to somewhere like a TuneCore. TuneCore does CD duplication now. TuneCore, Audio Life, Mind's Eye. There are plenty of CD duplication services out there. And I always say this much. At the very basis of it, burn 10, sell 10.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, you know what I'm saying? Make 10, sell 10.
I have a question.
And keep going from there. Go ahead.
What about tracking as far as, you know, tracking your sales, barcoding, and all of that? What, where would that fall in the wherewithal with the CD duplication?
It's very easy to get barcodes. It's easier nowadays to get barcodes than it has ever been. And I will say this much first. It doesn't matter whether you have the barcode or not. If you haven't registered your album with SoundScan, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
I'll tell everybody else, you got to do your research and you got to be smart about it. You know, if you haven't registered with SoundScan, it's not going to make a difference. I would say there are plenty of options out there for the DIY artist. You can, there are CD Baby, if I'm not mistaken, they offer a credit card machine. You can have it set up at the show, but people can swipe their credit card right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that counts as a sale. You have download cards. That counts as a sale. Like, it can be tracked. It can very much so be tracked. There are a lot of ways to do it. Even if you want to get, even if you burn a CD, and you have the download card to go with it. It just really kind of depends. Like, there are ways to navigate for that. And there are a couple of guys that are up on places like Discmakers and CD Baby, TuneCore. There are a lot of blogs that help you out with that. We can name out a few of them. But this is going to take some research. You guys have to realize that this is a business. It's a very serious business. I think we got a caller on the line. Man, look. What's going on with you, man?
What's going on, fellas?
Man, trying to make it happen. Trying to get some knowledge over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard one of the questions, like, about the, if you ain't got your money up, what should you do? Like,
yeah.
My answer to that is, like, go get a job first. Build your money up. Because the thing is with that, when you putting out some stuff, it's always your first impression is better than your best impression.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's the bottom line. It's like, if you know you ain't got your money up really for no, you know what I'm saying, to burn no CDs, just go get your money up. You know what I'm saying? Just plan that ahead, like, you know what I'm saying, you can come back months later. You know what I'm saying? Your music ain't going nowhere.
Hey, I know we got our man Dub G out there listening too. So, like, you know what Nook just said, presentation is one thing, and I know you also do graphics also, Nook. I mean, not Nook, but Nick. But you know, I mean, that presentation is another part that a lot of people don't realize, and also not just your presentation of your CD, yourself. You can't look bummy.
Seriously. Yeah, definitely yourself. You got, if you're going to present something to anybody, make yourself look presentable. You know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, don't come at me with, you know what I'm saying, looking all crazy, you know what I'm saying, and expect me to believe that you got something dope.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going to take the music is what I see. If you look crazy, I'm going to take your music crazy.
I'll give you a great example of that. When I was working at Clear Channel, I had a guy literally walk up, hand me a CD, and I think it felt, you're still on the line. Phil, you remember me because I called you when this happened. Cat comes and brings me a CD. He went and got the little stamper from Staples, and he wrote on the CD in pencil.
Right there in front of you?
Right before he handed it to me.
Oh,
yeah. It's ridiculousness.
I just when people do that to me, I get in a pause motion. I just like, don't say nothing. I put it in my eye, I look at it, just stare at it, and just don't say nothing. And then they gonna look at me like, then they look at you like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong? What you give me?
Well, I mean, not even just maximizing your money, more so your potential and the potential for you to network with other people. Like you said, that young cat came at you in the proper, and I mean, you don't have to have business cards all the time, but hey, it's nice to have them. You know what I'm saying? You should have your number and information and way of contact on every piece of anything you put out. I don't care if it's a piece of tissue. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know how many I've gotten? When I was with Big Cat, do you know how many CDs I got that didn't even have the phone number on it?
The sad part about it, if somebody got a hot record and you don't know who they are, You don't know their name. You don't know their email address, contact, nothing. You just
got
to wait around for somebody to keep talking about it.
You definitely had all the info on, like, on your inserts, or if you putting it on your CD, you know what I'm saying? You have all that on there.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a way to do things. I call this the Joe Dirt theory. I've talked about this before. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Joe Dirt, but what I absolutely loved about that movie was just Joe Dirt's philosophy on everything. He was like, I need to get to this side of stage. Okay, how much is it going to cost for me to get to this side of the state? Well, it's going to cost you $54 to get to this side of the state. Okay, well, I'm going to go work this job until I get $54, and I'm going to come back with $54 so I can get to this side of the state. And he just went from there and went. And, I mean, it sounds so simple in theory, but I'm telling you, it's so effective. It's just like Nook said, go get you a job. Even if you got a job, go get a part-time job. Go work in the job.
But you know what, man, I think that hurts a lot of independent artists, and they don't maximize the potential that they have, is the fact that they have pride. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, getting a job, man, there's been many a people, you know, that's scared to tell people they work a regular job because they in the industry, or the perception of being in the industry. You know what I'm saying?
I can tell you this much. I know quote-unquote CEOs that got jobs. I'm never mad at somebody that goes out there and gets it on a daily basis. Because I'm telling you right now, going into this business, if you don't have at least three streams of income, you'll be in the poorhouse.
Oh yeah, if you ain't making money, you surely shit, you bleed that money out.
Shit.
You don't have so long.
Oh yeah.
My God. I'm just letting you know. And I gotta say this on a personal note, and I'm pretty sure that Dub, wherever he is out there in Cyberland, he will agree with me. As a graphic designer, it really upsets me. Now, one thing I will say, yes, there was a time when graphic designers were hitting you over the head, and there are still some out there that are hitting you over the head with these ridiculous prices. However, we live in the age of everybody having a laptop, and everybody who has a laptop thinks that they are a graphic designer, an engineer, a CEO, and everything else under the sun. So, of course, graphic designers have had to lower their prices. But I will say this, you're not getting hit over the head like that, and there are plenty of graphic designers out there that will work with you to give you something that's very quality, very professional. I am sick. I am sick and tired. Some of the stuff that I see, some of these flyers, this is the thing about it. When I see it and it looks cheap, I think your product is cheap. And when I think your product is cheap, I'm not willing to spend my money on it. Because I know for a fact that there are plenty of people out there that will work with your budget.
Mm.
Especially if I see you in the club and you just order. If you're in the club and you just order three shots of Hennessy, that was your CD cover that you just paid for.
Yeah.
But then you want to hand me something that looks like some BS, I get maximizing your dollar, but you really, really, really need to maximize your priority.
You know,
at the end of the day, how do you want to look? Sorry for cutting you off.
Go ahead, bro.
But at the end of the day, how do you really want to look to the consumer? You are in business for yourself. You are an independent business owner at this point when you are an individual artist. How do you want to present your product to the consumer who is going to buy your product? What makes them want to give their money to you? That's what you have
product
to think about at the end of the day.
Product first. The music first.
Yeah. Music first, absolutely.
Well, you know, now, I agree, but I'm going to disagree. I agree with y'all, but I'm also, hey, I kind of disagree. But I think the image is first.
This is the thing what artists don't do when they go on, like, the independent mom-and-pop stores. I always tell them, go build your relationships up with these, like, the mom-and-pop stores. But, like, you never know. Like, they could be running your music. Why, like, customers coming through the store, like, you don't have to be there. See what I'm saying? Like, you got that build a relationship with the mom-and-pop stores. When you go in there, you chop it up, you know what I'm saying, let them know who you with. You know what I'm saying? Be presentable, like we went back saying, talking about earlier. Make a good presentation. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, normally, every day, like, a music independent store, they run that music in the store for the consumer to buy.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the purpose of putting the music in stores for the consumer to buy. Like, you go in there and chop it up with whoever, you know what I'm saying, and let them check out what you got going on. I mean, you know, you say you never know. Like, you go in there on a Sunday or Monday, and somebody come back in there on that Thursday, and they hear your music playing in there. They're going to ask, like, oh, who that is? You know what I'm saying? Either they tell them who it is, and then either you got in there for promo for free, or you got in there for, like, for $1.99 single to sell. They going to get it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, we got our man Dove G on the line. We're going to go ahead and bring Dove in, and also we got our man Child. I know he got something.
No,
he want to add into this.
All right.
Speaking
of family.
What's up? What's up? Long time no hear.
Dove. Somebody got a crazy echo. Turn your
Somebody just need to turn their radio down.
Yeah. Okay.
What's
I think
good?
It was Charlie.
Somebody playing far side.
Oh, that's Charlie. That's Charlie. Go ahead, y'all.
What's good
with
it, fam?
Not much,
call
man.
It, bro.
Back
Can't
in
it,
it one more time. If you don't know about it, you better know something, man. It's your boy Dove G checking back in this thing. Original middleman Don Dada was help. Nick Eden, the film is talking the town, and it is what it is.
Dove G, my man, you Tom Joyner looking motherfucker. I'll let the people, man. Tell them about this whole thing about maximizing your dollar, but do it without, you know, compromising the quality of your product.
You know what? That's something that I struggle with daily. We're dealing with a lot of independent artists now. I, for those who don't know, I was one of those who started out small, just like everybody else. But the thing about me was I ended up learning and actually mastering before I actually jumped out, a.k.a. sitting back and learning your craft of whatever you're doing. I learned how to do the graphics. I started out, wasn't A1 at first. You know, you got to start somewhere, but, you know, learn that part of it. Learn the production part of it. Learn the actual writing part. Every progression and stage of music entertainment, I learned that lane so I could cut down on cost.
Yep.
I understood at an early point. Guess what? These people need information on these CDs. I used to sit back with my wife back when I was young, and we would sit in my room and burn one CD at a time off of my computer and sit back and take the little easy stamp CD samplers and would stomp each and every CD. So every time I would go out for a show or anything, I would sit back, and it used to take, I'd say, roughly maybe about an hour and a half to do 50 CDs. And I would sit there and do each one of those, stomp each one of those with her, and then go out and do what I had to do for presentation purposes, because you know you got to cut around corners. You got to cut around corners when you don't have it, but you have to give them at least something to have a memorable moment with your product, you know.
Right.
And I understood that a lot, and then I understood as I was going along, you know what, I can do all this and that and the other, but guess what? If I don't do it to the level where somebody can come to me and actually get it from a bigger and a larger platform, then I'm not doing my job, a.k.a. I sat back with the graphics for at least 2 years before I went out and jumped out and said, hey, I got graphics for sale, I do graphics. I sat back for 2 years just learning the program. A lot of people, and I understand we're in the microwave time now where everybody wants everything quick, fast, and in a hurry, but at the same time, some things you do not need to compromise, because that compromises your career and look and everything else about you. And if people see you conducting yourself in those manners and having those products in those, they just effed up, let's just call it what it is, with those effed up graphics and sounds and everything else, you look bad, and then you wonder why the next man who sounds way worse than you do has a good look, and people are actually paying attention to him at some degree way or more than you are.
I totally agree.
We also got Charlie on the line. Charlie, you back with us?
Oh, what's going on, you guys? How's everything? Dub.
Yo.
Yo. I before I say whatever it is, I'm going to say I want to personally give props to Dub G. As a graphic artist, he is second to none. Dub designed the cover of my book tenders rekindled, and I'm getting all kinds of compliments on it, and people are asking me who did the cover. So if you all need someone to design something for your CD or whatnot, this man is my ultimate recommendation.
Yep.
Thank you, sir. I will
second that motion. I'll say this, anybody out there who knows me, if you want to know, well, where did Nick learn to do graphics? Who inspired Nick to do graphics? It was this man right here. So I will absolutely agree with Charlie on that. Have your business
sure.
Right.
And he's reasonable. His prices are reasonable since we're talking about saving money.
Right. They
he's
are
reasonable,
but price. I'm correct. I'm correct.
Yeah,
you know what?
Don't come lowballing in that. Don't do that.
You know what, fellas? I think there's one aspect we may have forgotten, and that's bartering. You know, I know a lot of people don't believe in that no more, but if I can do something that you can't do and you can do something I can't do, we can definitely barter. But
you
got to have something
word,
worth bartering. And
yeah,
that's what I'm
words
saying.
Words right out of my mouth.
If I can do something very well, I would say it like that. Yeah.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I agree with that. With people that you really have a strong rapport and trust with. This is Belfast speaking. But I wouldn't really do that with everyone because it's been my experience that a lot of people try to use the barter system as an excuse not to adequately compensate, you know, a person for an amount of for services rendered. Now, you can't have me, you know, I'll give you an example of that. You can't expect me to mix and master an entire album of, like, 19 songs for one, you know, for one logo. You know what I mean? And nothing else. You know, I've known people that have tried to, you know, get off on doing that. Not to me because, you know, I have my own plugs. But, you know, the other people I've had them try to do that to other people. So don't, you know, please don't try to. You'll burn your bridges trying to use the barter system.
Well, let me interject on that real quick, if you don't mind. See, the thing about that, I agree with that, but then it depends on the person who's doing the bartering. If you allow yourself or put yourself into that position where, you know what, I'm gonna barter with you, okay? So just take your scenario. I'm gonna do a logo for you, and I need you to mix it. Okay, well let's keep it in a even playing field. Because if you barter, it's the premise of it is for me to do something, you to do something for equal or fair trade, right?
Yep.
So
right.
If I'm gonna mix a song, and just say I'm just going low end, for, since we're talking about people with no money to a certain degree. So say I'm mixing your record for $25. My mixing is $25. Okay, you do logos. Your logo is $100. But guess what? I got four records for your one logo.
Exactly.
Now anything after that, we can either talk about price cuts or packaging, or if you have enough something that we can get, I need to get done, we can go to that lane. But too many people use the bar, and I totally agree with that. But they
that
don't
makes perfect
assess
sense.
It. They don't assess it. Well, they don't assess it well, and then they get caught into that. Just like you said, I'm doing a logo for 19 songs, and it doesn't make sense at the end of the day.
Right, right. I totally agree with what you just said.
And ladies and gentlemen, let me just interject for a second, guys. For those who are listening in, I want you to realize what you have on the line right now. You've got three engineers, three producers, at least two mixers, five writers, three promoters, and two music journalists on the line right now. I'm just saying. All of our services are available. Please give us a call, 718-508-9972, if you'd like to get in. I'm just saying. You got a lot of years of experience on the phone right now. And a lot of success to go along with it.
That's awesome.
But don't call us talking about I'm a barter. Y'all ain't got nothing to barter. I'm telling you right now.
We can get something out. Oh, I think to me.
Don't call me talking about
I get on your song. You know what I'm saying? I spit 16 on your song,
thing.
Man.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is, man, produce my whole album, dog. You know what I'm saying? No.
That's the worst.
No, thanks.
You come I can't stand that. Do not try to come and barter with a feature. I know we're going a little over our time too, but this is getting too good. Don't go over. Don't come talking about, you know, I'll jump on the phone with you. No, it
oh, my
it
God.
It doesn't work like that. I don't need you on my phone. I guarantee you I've got more radio play than you have. I'm okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I really appreciate what Doug just said. I mean, I hope people understood what he said as far as dealing with the bartering system and what Phil also has in there too. It's about mutual respect for one's craft, you know. I'm not going to. I mean, like you said, man, a lot of people take the time and effort to do what they do. And if you build me a house, how I look like coming at you? Yeah, I give you $5 for it. Really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, even though you may not have the funds, the money, or whatever the case may be, to do everything you need to do, like Doug was saying, that Mac, you know, everybody want to microwave everything. But if you don't have the money to do everything, then do it a little bit at a time. You may get to that point B a little bit slower than somebody else, but at least you get to point B, point C, point D, and so on. Take your time with it.
And see, and like I say, this is just one thing, I guess, just of time that I've been doing with myself, and I just really, people should do this coming off the top. You have to be able, I know a lot of people are not, but you have to be able to assess yourself and your situation. If you doing all of this yourself and everything is going on, know about, and if you want to turn it over into a potential moneymaker, learn that craft and go in depth with it. You know, there's not really that much that I don't do personally that I don't do, but it took time to do everything, and then after I felt to the degree and was actually. And a lot of people can't do this. They can't put themselves next to somebody with a real gauge on how it is. Or say, you're the artist. I'm hotter than 2 Chainz. I spit harder than 2 Chainz. If you really put yourself up next to 2 Chainz, okay, that's fine. But look at everything that he has going on. So there's no why nobody looking at me. Guess what? Because you don't have all of that stuff. I'm a graphic designer. Everything, you know, my designs are A1-41. Guess what? You put yours up to, say, a pitted pixel. I know I'm going back a little bit, but you put it up next to a pitted pixel. You know, for some of you new cats, NSG, NB Graphics, or whatever. You put your stuff next to it. If you don't look to somewhere either as good or better than that, you need to look at yourself with a firm hand. I need to keep going, keep practicing, keep doing this stuff until it's time for me to jump out. Because we all seen it. It's too many people. As soon as they get the program, they'll take 2 weeks and learn the basics of the basics of the basics. And they say, hey, you need flies done. I got you going for $15.
Lord. No, the one that killed me is I got tracks for $5.
And they sound like $5 tracks.
My God. Well, you know, not just joshing on all the artists out there, because, I mean, man, the times are hard, and, you know, this is a hard business to be in, to be honest. You know, like what the whole gist of this show with Nick is trying to present to you guys is maximizing not only your dollars but your potential to network and gain ground and make things happen for yourself in this. Now, you may not be, like Doug was saying, putting yourself in that 2 Chainz. You may not be the next 2 Chainz, but you can be 1 Chainz. Or no change. You know what I'm saying? Do your thing. That's all that
well,
it all
gives
up to.
Be the first you. That's the thing about it. Be the first you. And I think I can comfortably say this with the people that we have on this line. I say any artist out here, you know, before you go trying to compare yourself to this person or that person, try selling 1,000 units first. When you can sell 1,000 units first, then I promise you, the last thing you're going to be thinking about is what the next man is doing. You're going to be
exactly.
thinking how you can sell that next 1,000.
Exactly.
And that next
right.
1,000, get up to 10, to 15, to 20. And at that point, you're not worried about being the next this person or the next that person. You're worried about being the first you.
And
that's
like
what you really have
right.
to concentrate on.
You're right, and you got to understand that you are money. Your presentation is money. You know what I'm saying? Your product is money. Your mouthpiece is money. So if you ain't trying to get it, you're messing yourself up.
And see, my thing is, I really don't want to beat a dead horse, but I do have to say this. I really do have to say this. Because the one thing that does trouble me is the fact that when you do explain this to a lot of the independent artists out there,
they really get upset. You have to take a long, good look at yourself and be able to accept not only the criticism but the rejection. There is an unnatural amount of rejection that goes along with being in this business, but there is a reason for that. There is a reason for that. This is the type of business that when you're done with this show, you might just got paid to go and do this show in Montgomery, Alabama. But guess what? After that show, you no longer have a job. You got to be concentrating on the next thing. Like, it's an unnatural amount of rejection because it has to prepare you for what you're going to get into. For those of us who have been on the road, we already know that's a tough life to live. It's not easy, especially those of us who have families at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. So when you think, oh, yeah, this is too hard, you know, this is this, this is that, this is this, okay, assess who you are. And if one, if you really want this, you might think you want this, but if you this is not something that's for the weak at heart. It's not. You're going to run into the biggest crooks in the world.
Tell me about
it. You're going to run into some people that's going to look you dead in your face, and they're going to run off with your money. And then you're going to see them in the club 2 weeks later, and they got the nerve to shoot you the deuces. Like, what's up? I'm telling you, this is not. This business will make you kill somebody.
Yeah, man. It's good to have knowledge and be armed with the proper understanding of this business, then get out there and put your booty out there first and hope nobody don't stick it. Because it will get stuck. We told y'all, make sure you go back and listen to the Pimp and the Whore show, the music industry. We there was some great knowledge dropped on that show right there. You know, matter of fact, go back to all of the Talk of the Town, download, man, because, I mean, use this information. Now, we stressed it before, we don't know everything. And I know, like you said, Nick, a lot of artists, they do get offended when you try to say, well, you ain't did nothing. Well, guess what? Just because you may not see it, you don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Learn to listen, because to get where we are, we had to listen and learn and observe.
Mm-hmm. I definitely want to thank everybody that was on the line tonight. Man, Felt 5, Nook, Charlie, Dub, G, everybody who's listening in online, everybody who's actually ever just taking the time to listen to the Middlemen and Talk of the Town. We appreciate you guys. This was a great show tonight. I'm glad we had everybody on here that was able to give all this knowledge. I will say this much, you know, maximize your dollar, but don't let it be to the detriment of the quality of your product. Because at the end of the day, that's what everybody's going to see, and that's what you're going to be judged on. That's what you're going to be judged on. And in a business that's built based on fans, the judgment of those fans is what's important. It's really and truly what's important. You make this music, and you make it because you love it, because it feels good, but at the end of the day, if you're in the business of recording music, now if you just want to make music and give it away to people, you know, whoever will take it, that's fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If you're in it just for the pure artistry of it, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're in the business of recorded music with the intent to market and distribute product to be sold, then how you are viewed by your potential fans is very important. It's going to be the difference between turning your consumer into a customer. Any final thoughts, guys, before we head out of here?
I'm going to say this. Stop being a damn cheapskate. Pay people what they worth, because you want to be paid the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Preach!
Phil 5, hey, any final words?
They just summed it up. You know, just know at the end of the day that you are the businessman in this venture that you chose to do called music. You know, it's just like any other business. You have to present a viable product to get a viable result. And, you know, it's always, you know, cost effective to try to look for the best deals without cutting quality. And that's about it.
All right. Look, any final words, man?
I let it sit. You know what I'm saying? Y'all done said all this thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, just stay on the grind, and you know what I'm saying? The majority, you know, results will show at the end, you know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Charlie, anything?
We lost Charlie.
One thing I forgot to mention, I know I've said it before in earlier shows, but for those of you who are seeking a record deal, stop calling it a deal. It is a loan. A loan at 40% interest.
Amen.
I got to piggyback off that real quick because that's something that Killer Mike told me years ago. He said, man, I stopped looking for a record deal a long time ago because that's like going to a car dealership and say, I'm looking for a deal. They're going to give you a deal, but I promise what you drive off that car lot with is not worth it. So stop looking for a deal and look for the right situation.
Be a deal, though.
Yeah.
Hey, man, hold on. We got one new call in. This is my man, Johnny. Johnny, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Kev?
What's happening, man? I appreciate you for tuning in, checking out the show tonight, man.
No problem, man. No problem. Glad to see you on the air, brother.
Most definitely, man. If you missed the beginning of the show, you can always go back, download it, and check it out, man. We appreciate you, man. This is my people right here, Johnny Weber, man. I appreciate you, bro.
All right, man. We appreciate you, bro.
So what you talking about, maximizing your dollar?
Yeah, music, independent artists, maximizing the dollar, and, you know, just making
hey,
the best out of
up.
The
Don't
look.
Forget to put that link up.
Most definitely, we going to do that. Well, you know, independent artists maximizing their dollar, taking a little nothing and making something.
Yeah, man, if you start your own event in a park where there's nothing going on at, and they do it regularly at a set schedule, then that way you can begin a set trend in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make any sense to you? I read this book, man, by Shania Twain.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds funny, but they started an event inside of a small area in the park. They did it like twice a week, and they kept coming back to the same location just to see those same artists perform. They gave them free food. They gave like free food supplies. You know what I mean? Start something that where nothing's going on at, and boom, they'll pick up on it.
That becomes name recognition, face recognition, product recognition.
Centennial Park in Atlanta does it every Wednesday. Wednesday wind down.
Wednesday
and
wind down.
People come there every week to see major and minor artists every week, and whoever's up there killing the show, hey, it works out for them. So that's a great thing.
Yeah.
We are going to do a show about performance, and we're talking about both hip hop and R&B on that because I think a lot of guys we're suffering in the business right now is a lack of performance, man. Performance is something that's really suffering right now in the music business. So, as a matter of fact, that may be next week's show. Want everybody to tune in. Johnny, we appreciate you calling in with us, man.
Okay, thank you.
And,
appreciate
that. As always, man, one on one down, we'll see you this Sunday on the Middleman Talk Show, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, and we'll be right back here next Thursday. This is Middleman.
All right, y'all, take it easy.
All right. Hey, Phil. We're going to get this outro. We're going to have to get us an outro or intro or something, man. This too hot.
Hey, yeah, I'll take it easy, man.
Spell 5, middleman. Yeah, talking to town. Spell 5. Oh, follow me at Spell 5 on Twitter. Yeah. It's the talk of the town, man. It's so ill. We talking real news in the music business here. Take your opinion in the chat or you can call in. Hey, they be going in. Yeah, they be going in. On them gas in the industry. Doing more things most gas don't see. Keep your ears to the ground and you will see. Most things ain't what they appear to be. Cut to the chase in the real McCoy. Telling you that they ain't gon' toy around with no issues. Shedding light on dark signals. Yes, and now they on live. 8 p.m. is where you should plan to be on Thursday night. This is a PSA from the One Felt Vibe. Talk of the town and the show is going live. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Nick, we had to steal Felt from you, dog. Just letting you know now.
The hell you say?
Yeah. Yeah. We looking for a new intro. Looking for some old hot outro. So I'm just letting it be out. I'm just putting it out there, man.
Okay. I'm going to work on that.
Just saying. Because you know what?
Work on that.
You know, if we get one that's whack from any artist out there, this is what's going to happen.
Put the motherfucker on the face!
Quickly. We out, man.
Holla at y'all this Sunday.
Peace.
Alert.